NLP coach, educator, intuitive energy healer, Vicki Oleski is joined by full-time energy healer, spiritual teacher, and certified life and business coach, Reverend Daly Little. In today's Live Into 5D podcast episode, Daly talks with us about the many facets of self-care, the journey as an experiential, loving disruptor, which she calls slow heal, and how by the act of aligning to one's soul fire, re-educates the body-mind, directing oneself towards pleasure transformation and ending cycles of false comfort traps. We may just call this time in history the Great Sacred Reset. Live Into 5D weekly episodes are akin to personal agency microdosing, perking insights that lead to breakthrough action. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to our guests. Now, let's get to our conversation with Reverend Daly Little.
And winds can come out of left field. You might feel like you're so far away from what you're creating, and then it's just there because the energy's so aligned.
Right? Yeah. That is so perfect. You know, like I watched it three times. First, I was like, wow. And the second time, I was like, no way. And by the third time, I just watched the focused, concentrated, complete capsule that horse was trailing on, that enthusiasm and courage, you know?
Yes.
Wow, that was so huge. And it can happen with all of us.
I think that's how it has to happen in this day and age. There's so many things going on, right? And I mean, in May, the whole piece around Roe versus Wade, which there will be a ruling on that soon in another few weeks, just right there. But it's so easy to look at these massive shifts going and think, oh my gosh, like the world is becoming something I don't want it to become, or it's morphing in these ways so fast. But we can be just as powerful, and all it takes is one person and one intention to completely shift the culture of this country and of the world. And I really think that's part of what 5D is about, you know, like everybody's living in an old paradigm, and we are the ones that have to have the courage to take the new path, to find the new way forward in the energy that is unlike what's already been done.
There was nothing getting in the way.
Yeah, it was
the
wild.
The path, and that pathway was fresh as snow.
Yeah.
It didn't seem as though they were looking out for who was ahead. They were just, boom.
They were going. They were on their own path. That was it. Yeah. I think that's so profound. It's so deep because that is what it is, right? What do they call jockey? The jockey had a path, saw the path, went.
Right.
It was like, we're doing it. Let's go. The horse felt it. The horse was all hyper afterwards.
They were like, they became one.
Yeah.
One with, you know, the horse and the jockey, you know, but also one with the path.
Yeah.
That sense of freshness and focus and concentration, how we need to really, I think part of the work I do with myself first, with my clients and students, is really bring that to the forefront of how important that can be for one's life.
Yeah.
And how sometimes we get off course with other things that need our attention.
Whoa,
I had to calm myself down off of a couple clips.
Yeah.
You know?
Because Roe versus Wade isn't just women's wombs. I mean, it covered so many other rights, essential rights. So, yeah.
It's not how do we, it's that we do.
Yeah.
So it's not how anymore. It's that we are doing and being the new way.
Yeah.
You know, just concentrated, focused energy of, and it's not like get out of my way. That's not what we're talking about. We really are talking about, you know, taking up room that is ours. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think mothering is about, you know, showing our children and our foster children and our godchildren how to take up their own room. We wanted to talk about self-care today.
Does include mani and pedis and massages,
deep diving into the TV set sometimes. But on a deeper level,
that self-care is a critical part of how we move through 5D and embody ourselves in that. Like when you think of that Kentucky Derby jockey and the horse and how they just beelined from the back and found their path and went for the win. In that moment, it didn't even feel like it was about this one race. It was just the heart of the horse and the rider and all that that encompassed for them, you know, their lives bursting forth and saying, this is where we belong and this is where we're going. And we're in this moment. And I think that level of oneness and presence is so essential for how we live and how we're going to create the healthy changes for our planet and all of that. And that happens, like, how do we get ourselves to that place? People try to push towards that. If I just do this, if I just do that, then I'll be the person. Mm-hmm. But that's just us trying to catch up with some construct of time. And I think self-care is actually the reset switch that helps us to fall back into alignment with our soul fire and our being. So, you know, the self-care isn't like sitting there and getting the mani-pedis, which I love, and like all of that. It isn't just a mani-pedi. It's actually the sacred reset of our being when we give ourselves permission to stop the running and the forcing and the pushing and the overdoing or the reactionary nature of who we are. And I think like there's just so many pieces that can come into self-care. It's so overplayed. Like people talk about self-care all the time, but I think it's easy to forget that self-care is actually this huge transformational thing we can do for ourselves that will get us where we want to be.
You were discussing with me earlier that you're going to be taking a sabbatical from teaching Reiki?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, well, first, Vicky, I just have to give you such props for listening to that voice inside that said to take the sabbatical, right? Because I think we hear that a lot. Like people hear it inside, but they don't feel liberated to trust it, to just go there and figure out how to make it happen, right? Like survival can kick in. We may think we have to work in order to cover things, or we think we're going to be missed and that everything's going to fall apart if we disappear. But trusting that voice is huge. So yeah, I think myself, I had this hit a few weeks ago that I just felt very clear that it's time to take a sabbatical from teaching Reiki Master. Mm-hmm. So I'll still be teaching levels 1 and 2, but over the past 3 years, there's been so much inner growth within me. I've taken classes, I've explored things, explored parts of the world, relationships, and it's been bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And I think it's just this natural seasonal thing that we go through times where we need to stop and fully integrate, well, integrate as fully as we can. And I realized I just couldn't do that and still stay on the same track. So for me, taking a sabbatical taking a break next year from Reiki for a year is actually like stopping the old vibration. Mm-hmm. It's a stop check. It's a way of creating closure and grounding. It's a necessary destruction so that something fresh can be recreated that's much more aligned with who I am and with what's happening in the world.
Couple questions. Do you follow any of your astrological rhythms? I am such a novice with astrology. I'm just super enthusiastic about understanding that we are between an antenna of the electromagnetic, so that there's like a frequency that moves through us constantly. And through this month of May, we're having Jupiter move into the first sign of Aries, and that is ending and beginning a new 12-year cycle. So you were just talking about closure and how there's always an opening and a beginning with that.
Yeah.
Do you follow any of those patterns for yourself?
I think of that as part of my self-care too. You know, as an intuitive, as someone who has just kind of always had a pathway of sensing energy and sensing things before they were going to happen. And it's like in my mind, I just see light and I see patterns. So that's how I know what's coming for this season. I don't always use astrology for that because it just comes through. So what more often happens is I check in and then I go to astrology to see if it lines up. And then understanding astrology as I do, sometimes the myths, the stories, the understanding of the stars and their relationship, it really helps to plug in gaps where my inner vision did not show me pieces, but then now I have a fuller picture, right? So as a priestess of ancient Egypt, of Isis, the goddess Isis, there's this saying that I learned in my teachings a while back, this understanding that before you can even start to do ritual, before you can start to set these intentions for time, like first you have to understand where you're at and what's happening, right? And that's what astrology brings. Mm-hmm. So ceremonial priests and priestesses always began with the stars so that they could understand their orientation in time and space on this planet before creating huge energetic magic.
Right.
So yeah, like that to me is it's self-care for us to actually learn about our birth charts and understand what our tendencies and propensities may be, mm-hmm. and to learn how to work with who we are to open in love and to open. Where am I under the stars? What time is this? And how do you apply the medicine, the right energy, the right solutions if you don't understand what's happening, right? Yeah. So I think it's really essential. And when people are really lost, I work with a lot of clients who are just like, I know my life can be more, but I don't know how. Like, I don't understand what I need to do. And so much of that work of the first month is always just, well, let's orient and actually help you see where you're at so that you can decide what next step you want to create and where you might want to go. I would recommend, well, now I've got two recommendations. It just depends on who people are. So if you're a really mental, heady person, you like to be in your head, you want to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, then the very first step that I suggest is actually creating a list of five things that help you to feel really nourished. And I love this list. When I do it, I like to actually fold the paper in half. And on the left side, I put false comfort traps. False comfort traps are all of the things you think that are self-care because you feel momentarily satiated. That might be like eating a pint of ice cream and sitting on the couch with your zipper down. You know, it's a false comfort trap. You'll feel good for like 15 minutes until you're like, oh, why did I do that? And then you feel sick and nasty, right? Because it's too much for your body, you know? So, So I fold the paper, the left side, just write down all of your false comfort traps, the things you tend to naturally go towards when you're in crisis, when you're stressed out. Maybe you tend to speak to certain people that are not the best people to actually speak to when you're stressed, but that you always go there, right? And then on the right side of the paper, you put real comfort. And those are the things that you notice tend to ground you back into who you are. Things that help you remember your power. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be really different for everybody, right? Like for one person, maybe going to church is real comfort because when they're there, they remember their calling. They remember their heart. They're surrounded by people that get them. But for someone else, going to church might be a false comfort trap because when they go to church, they forget who they are and they, you know, maybe they get caught up in dogma and it triggers them. Mm-hmm. So that's my suggestion for the first self-care step is to actually identify what is your self-care. And that could be anything from getting the mani-pedis to like I used to be a costume designer and I love going and window shopping and just looking at clothes and touching new things. Because even though it's this very material thing, it activates creativity in me. Right. It brings me back to this inner place of power. So that's really wonderful. And I leave that more nourished, right? So that list, I think, is a really helpful thing because once you know what feeds you, then you can start to put that into your calendar.
Things is that activation piece.
Yeah.
We tend to, again, not all of us, and I don't want to like just, you know, put this on all about flux. Lots of things are going on. We can get into a loop that takes us way far away from who we are. Our innermost empowering moments can get tripped off. It's like a switch.
Yeah.
It's like a switch.
Yep.
And the thing that you're talking about with this 5-5 is to really look at consciously some behaviors that someone would do, not how did they get there.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, I tend to do this and I tend to think that it's a self-care or I tend to think that this is comforting me.
Right.
You know, then
but it's not.
It's not. And then we have to go into shame and
shame, oh, guilt. Yeah. I'm a bad person. Yeah, all the bad stuff.
You know, forgiveness and all this, you know. And, you know, we're making light and sometimes we can spend 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years in these loops.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Self-care is about, I think, circumventing. Mm-hmm. You know, and to make this other side, this other list of, oh, this is other options, choices. So much of our movement in life is motivated by emotions. You know, and I know that I'm speaking to a beautiful colleague of mine that we've known each other for quite a while, to know that we are just now hitting the ground in the mainstream to bring the education that's necessary around the emotional, mental bodies and realms that really can get trigger us and we can stay there for a long time. And we do not need to.
No, we don't need to. And yet I think people don't always realize that, you know, and that's why like starting a simple list of false comfort traps and real comfort traps allows you to start to shift out of that old paradigm of doing and thinking. And then a list of real comfort becomes actually a lifestyle of making choices that are actually really nourishing.
Right.
And like, can I tell you one of the best things that I ever did for my self-care? Like truly. I mean, I would think it was Reiki, but that like just transformed my entire life. But this is like specifically something that affected, I think, my core identity in self-care. Was a few years ago, I took a training with a woman who taught me how to work with cacao as a plant medicine. And her style of teaching was very slow and rich. And she spent time showing how to make these beautiful recipes and bringing in adaptogens and all kinds of plants and flowers and nuts. The way she taught invited us into slowness. And then for the whole year, the first year of that training, the homework that I was given was to put aside at least a half a day to do absolutely nothing. And it was the hugest disrupt for my existence because I was used to going, doing. That's what's prized in our culture. And she said, no, on Wednesday, you're going to go shopping for what you need for an hour. On Thursday, you're going to clean your house, clean your sacred space. On Friday, you're going to check in and start to envision the work of being with this plant, with this medicine. And then on Saturday, you're going to have your ceremony fully embodied. Right? And you need at least a half day because you need to come out. You need to come out of the workup. And what she was really doing was she wasn't just teaching us about cacao, right? She was teaching us about being fully present and embodied as an earth worker, how to approach any plant, how to approach medicine, how to approach people, how to approach our own being. And so for people who are not heady, I think start with just a window of time and give yourself that permission to slow down and do nothing.
I love that. I thought, you know, as you were telling me, and pardon the dog barking, as you were describing that daily, I thought about the 7 days of creation. You know, yeah. I think, thank you so much for sharing that. I think I'm going to use that for myself around certain courses or curriculum or things that I want to create. And I want to definitely welcome the listener to do this saying that's so powerful.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So from that, I developed what I call a pleasure circle. And I often teach my clients or some of my more tantric students how to do that. It's a little different from what I explained, but it's generally the same idea. We just walk through this step of how you begin to create this sacred space where you can actually tap in to your cosmic creativity. And what I mean by cosmic creativity is like each of us, we have soul fire. We have fire in our bellies and our guts and our, you know, like our lower power center. And it's a little bit different for everyone exactly where that is. But like we have this creative fire that is so unique to who you are. Nobody else can recreate it in the entire universe. It's just you are that emanation, right? And we get so acculturated by society that we forget what we are and who we are. We forget how we taste. We forget how we feel. We forget who we need to be from that core level. And yet that creativity through that lower gateway is also connected to the entire cosmos. There is actually no differentiation between our core essence and the entire universe. It's sort of a paradox, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. When we create these pleasure circles, it's actually this intentional space where we block out all of the noise, everything, all of it. Yeah. in order to just start to hold presence for this most essential creative part of who we are. And when we do that, like the channel to the cosmos naturally opens, and we start to get nourished. We start to be fed. We don't even have to do anything. It just is.
Again, activating, waking up our nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
activation through being passive.
And, you know, you again spoke to what we opened with, was that concentrated, focused energy of self. It wasn't about blocking out.
Right.
It was about, it's what I hear you talking about now, is that being with that time, our nature, and cultivating that. And, you know, light worker is like a ground worker these days.
Yeah, you got to have both. But one doesn't exist without the, not healthy if you don't have both.
You know, it's not about up there.
Right.
It's about embodying. Yeah. It's about calling up that energy from the lower first, second, third earth chakra. That's dense. It's, it's everything. And to bring that and to mold it right into the heart area and bring it forth.
Yeah.
So it's light and dark. It is. I loved how Gail talked about being ground worker.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, that's so great. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because so much of it is grounding. And I loved when you used the words being with, because that's actually what I sometimes call, like, I say that a lot in my work. Like, I have a process that I call being with, and it's just the simple exercise that I often do with coaching clients where we simply slow down and we just stay with a feeling and we tend it and we notice it. We dive into it and we let it move at its own pace. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, suddenly this whole universe of awarenesses opens up for people. And it's so simple, and yet it can be challenging because we're not necessarily taught how to slow down and be with what's coming through.
Right. I think daily, what I have seen and what I experience when we do slow down and we're being with, this is a whole new education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that energy can build, and that moment is about re-educating the entire system.
Yeah.
To realize that it's not anxiety.
Right.
It's energy.
Yes.
Be with it and to listen, allow it. We can respond, re-educating the system, the body, the mind-body connection, right?
Yeah, like re-educating your body into pleasure, re-educating your body into what it feels like to not just be in a reactionary space, worrying about that thing you emailed the boss, worrying about the conversation you had with your partner or didn't have with your partner. There's all of this kind of reactionary energy that can start to kick up in day-to-day life. And like, we're creating this reality together. We're co-creating it. We're like all coming into the same rhythmic kind of vibration on this planet, like a clock ticking, like a grandfather clock. And mm-hmm. so sometimes it, like, the time gets ahead of itself or gets behind itself or it starts skipping, and the clock just needs to be rewound. And I think the self-care is, again, stepping out of that so that it can, the true vibration can be found again. And that means coming into this space like a baby all over again, where you're not just reacting, your eyes are open, you're witnessing, you're curious, you mm-hmm. see things fresh and new,
mm-hmm.
and you're inspired.
Timing is everything. I mean, we say like it's a cliche, you know?
Yeah.
But as a healer and energy intuitive and energy healing and the whole gamut, we absolutely know everything can be present. Yeah. And if the timing is off, there's not, it doesn't sink in. It doesn't align. And again, I think that that's a part of knowing that that needs to happen, knowing, yes. But then also allowing education to take place, which is really about, you know, sitting back, having that be the lesson plan.
Yeah. Yep. I think people avoid it, like on a practical level, and we don't have to, you know, like, for example, I've seen so many times and experienced in my life where you meet someone amazing and you go, oh, wow, they're just so great. But gosh, I wish I'd met them 5 years from now. Or man, I wish I'd met them 2 years ago when I was in XYZ space. But it's like the timing came as it came. Like this is where the vibration landed it, right? And I used to be somebody who would think, oh, I feel such regret, or maybe I can force it to work. They're not ready, or I'm not ready, but maybe I can just. And then one day it hit me like, oh, we don't need to do any of that forcing. Like the rhythm is just the rhythm, and this is where it is. And if my manifestations are causing such that it's not lining up, then I can create the shift by having a sabbatical, by taking time for self-care. Because when I step out of the time stream, I get to choose who I come back in as and when I come back in. And so I think a lot of times people go through breakups, relationship breakups, and they want to just jump right back in and find someone and get into something else so they don't have to feel the pain of loss or of transition or change, or they don't have to integrate what's happened. And yet that self-care time, that window of stepping out of the time stream to go get nails done, take hot baths, sit and read books that don't have anything to do with necessity. All of that, it gives time for that subconscious energy to start to work and clear, for the body pathways to move energy out, for the vibrational imprints that occurred when you were with that other person, for that energy to start to break up and compost and then move out or transform. And when we don't give ourselves that self-care time, we're actually like not going to create any, it's hard to create something new, mm-hmm. right? Like we don't allow ourselves the space to actually integrate and grow. So yeah, I think it's.
Yeah, beautifully so much.
Thank you. So nice to see you today.